You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
It's time for the ESO Dragon Con Report, a podcast dedicated to help newcomers and veterans prepare for the upcoming annual convention in downtown Atlanta. With interviews, advice, and news from the pros and fans alike, be careful, you never know, you might actually learn something.
Howdy everyone, and welcome to our fourth installment of the ESO Dragon Con 2013 Special Report. With only a little over 4 months left...
128 days, my friend.
I know, right?
Oh, Jesus. I got costumes to put together. I can't be here wasting my time talking to you guys.
There is already a lot to discuss. We've got a packed episode for you today, including a chat with Dragon Con Director of Media Relations, Dan Carroll, and costumer and multimedia maiden Meredith Placco, otherwise known as Anna Aesthetic. We also have a segment from Nikki Rao Baker and an extra special report from the Phantom Troublemaker. But first, let's say howdy to tonight's crew. I'm your host, Mike Gordon, and we also have another Mike with us, Mike Faber.
Hey, Mike. Good to be here. Looking forward to it and counting the moments down second by second.
I know, we're getting so close now, right?
Well, as of this recording time, it's 128 days, 12 hours, and 54 minutes.
Yeah, it'll be here before. Yeah, it'll literally be here before we know it.
Exactly.
We also have with us, of course, our own Wonder Man, Darren Noel.
Howdy, folks. What's up?
What's up with you? Now, do you have a new costume that you're debuting this year?
I will hopefully have two. No, I'm going to have three new ones. So, yeah, I'll have one per day now. So.
Oh, any hints? Any hints?
Another Justice Leaguer will make an appearance, and this time it's a guy. And I will be hopefully pulling off a Boy Wonder trope. So there's a pretty blatant hit right there.
Oh, boy.
And then the last one we're going to save, because the last one is tapping into the dark side just a little bit.
Ooh.
It'll be a Dragon Con After Dark costume. So.
Awesome.
Not for the kids.
More details to follow. Well, before we get into the Dragon Con news, just two dates that are coming up that I feel are really important for all those interested in Dragon Con. May 15th is the final day of the $100 membership rate. So if you don't have your membership tickets now, get them before May 15th. Also, May 18th coming up is a volunteer meeting. So if you want to be part of Dragon Con, you'll want to find out more about that meeting. And you can find out more about the memberships and the volunteer meeting at dragoncon.org. So to help us with the rest of the news, we have with us, again, the Dragon Con Director of Media Relations, Dan Carroll. Welcome back to the station, Dan.
Oh, well, always happy to be back with the ESO. Thank you, Mike. Mike and Darren.
So I would imagine with 4 months left, this is like your runway, right? I mean, this is we're really starting to count down the days.
Yes, yes. And as you know, from my side of the house, my Dragon Con starts a day earlier than everyone else's. But we're getting excited from the media side of the house. We're doing outreach. We're talking to reporters. I'm talking to you this week. I'll be talking later on in the evening to Huffington Post. And I will be on, by the time this airs, I will have been on the regular guys to talk about a really fascinating topic, which is Atlanta was recently named the nerdiest city in the United States by a real estate blog. But also, there's some controversy about how Dragon Con protects and cares for its attendees versus what is news and interesting and exciting on the internet. So those two topics I'll be covering tomorrow, and I suggest everybody to set your time machine and listen to me prior.
Awesome. Well, they definitely sound like interesting topics. So what can you tell us about like some of the new things we can expect this year from Dragon Con?
Well, one of the things that Dragon Con has done recently in the past couple of years, and they're expanding upon, is the workshops. We've got writing workshops. We've got short-term writing workshops, writing by the hour. We have one workshop called Writing by the Hour. We have manufacturing and making workshops available at some of our tracks, and those workshops are becoming more and more popular. Of course, we're going to have the same wonderful selection of guests that we always have. We've had to, for logistical reasons, have to cap it at 400 guests, but we're going to be bringing in some amazing talent. As you know, it's springtime. We're still working on a lot of contracts. We have a lot of people who've expressed interest. We haven't nailed down the details. So the one thing I tell all the people who are interested in DragonCon, check the website every day, www.dragoncon.org, and you'll be able to get those updates on the guests who are coming. And for those who come to shop, you guys shop when you come to DragonCon?
Of course. Sure.
Excellent. Bring your wallets, bring your Amex your Visa and MasterCard, and come on down, because we're going to have a new vending space over in the America's Mart, and it's going to free up the room that's been used in previous years in the Marriott. That's the bottom floor of the Marriott, and then the two grand ballrooms on the marquee level of the Marriott. They're both being opened up for programming tracks and additional space for activities.
That's awesome. Quick question with that, though, Dan. How easy is it to get to the new shopping area from the hotels?
Oh, it's very easy. If you're going for those people who've been coming to DragonCon the past couple of years, you may notice some of the more popular tracks have moved over to the West End, because the West End provides more space. That's the Whedonverse track, which of course exploded not just from the world of Buffy, from the Avengers last year, and the Steampunk track, which is one of the few tracks that has two complete rooms for presenting panelings, because the it's called Alternate History. Q will get me for that one. But Alternate History track has two rooms. The number of people come to the Alternate History track makes it the biggest, if not the biggest, one of the biggest, if not the biggest track for DragonCon each year. They're over in the West End. Stargate's in the West End. From the West End, it's a simple bridge across from the West End to the America's Mart, but there's also openings on the street level.
I think it's very exciting that we've got this new expanded space. Now, not only does it free up space from the hotels, but it also puts most of the dealers and exhibitors in one area, and it will expand on that as well?
It will. We've got some other things that we're working on that are going to be pretty exciting when it comes to some of our vendor and sponsorship space, and those are projects in the work. But as always with DragonCon, talking about it this time of the year, it's very difficult to nail down any of the details.
Yeah, true.
All I can tell you is that our space is all accounted for, so we have a pretty full expectation for 2013 being the best DragonCon ever.
Awesome. Well, it does seem to get better and better every year anyway, so.
Well, thank you. You know, a lot of times people get confused about my role with DragonCon, but honestly, I don't do anything with DragonCon. I just talk about it, and I am impressed every time I sit down to talk with the folks who run the tracks, the people who take care of the dealers, the security, the folks who work with information services, making sure that the attendees are able to find where they're going. I just am so lucky to be able to talk about the work that they're doing.
That's awesome. That is really, really awesome. So what other new things are going on with DragonCon this year?
Well, this is in the works, but right now we are working with the city, and we are working with the APD to expand the route for the parade.
Oh, very cool. Yay. We had heard rumors about that.
That
needs to happen. Totally does.
And absolutely. We are right now, we are now looking at how to do this in a successful and safe way. As you may have seen on the documentary 4 Days of Dragon Con. Our chairman, Pat Henry, refers to the parade being important because we are a parading people, but we're not necessarily a physically fit people. And I recently learned that our original parade route started in Centennial Park. And the reason it does not start in Centennial Park was that nobody was prepared for that uphill climb.
Yeah, yeah. I can see a couple of those cardboard heroes taking a dive down on the pavement.
Well,
I think it's going to be the point where now you have to train in order to be in the parade.
Well, and of course, at this point, you have to submit photos and be selected to be in the parade. Participation in the parade is not automatic from applying. And speaking of the parade, one of the big things that's going to be happening this year is nuptials at the end of the parade.
Wow.
Yes. Yes. and I won't mention their names, but friends of mine have started calling me the wedding planner, because they had originally had this plan to have the wedding in the middle of the parade, and I pointed out to them that they should check first and ask permission, and I was able to negotiate, and they will be getting married in Darth Vader bride and groom costumes, a Darth Vader bride dress and a Darth Vader tuxedo. And the wedding will be officiated by ESO's own John Strangeway, a.k.a. Steampunk Boba Fett.
Oh, that is awesome.
Wow.
That is awesome.
I hope so. It's pretty exciting. And the wedding will take place in front of the DCTV/reporters viewing area.
Oh, of course. Yes, definitely a nice photo out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's very cool.
Hold on. If that man does not say, "Marriage is what brings us here together today," I want his badge taken.
Seriously. No, he's going to be dressed as Boba Fett.
I don't care. It makes it funnier.
Okay.
So he will dip them both in carbonite.
Yes. Together forever. I mean it.
Their honeymoon will be on Tatooine.
Mm.
Well, I believe the vows do say something about 1,000 years together in the belly of the great Sarlacc.
Oh, goodness.
And I hope she doesn't listen. She's actually going to be doing my hair soon. So, I'm sorry for interrupting. Go.
No, it's okay. I just love the sanctity of marriage. I do. It's one of those things that gets to my heart. I tear up when I hear about it.
That's a question I had also been curious about too. I know that with other parades that are in downtown Atlanta that they televise them. Has there been any interest in televising the Dragon Con parade at all?
We have not had anybody approach us with that. And one of the things that's very interesting is that we're actually actively engaged with putting on Dragon Con. So sometimes things like that kind of fall through the cracks.
Sure.
But one other change that's a continuation of what's been going on is that our badge check policy, which has been so successful in the evenings, is being extended much more vigorously during the daytime.
Mm-hmm.
And we will be... of course, registration will be open. Registration will continue to improve the way it's improved the past few years. I think folks who've been coming to Dragon Con for a while understand that things are different when it comes to waiting online at Dragon Con now. Wouldn't you say, guys?
Oh, yes. Very much so.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
So one of the things we're doing with registration is on Saturday afternoon after the parade, we're going to be funneling Saturday and Sunday one-day registrations and two-day registrations, we're going to be funneling them into the area that had been filled with the pre-registration because by the end of the parade, our pre-registration line is non-existent and it's all Saturday and Sunday attendees. So we're doing everything we can to look at the systems we have, see where gaps exist, and fill them up. And it's a part of the maturing process. 27 years of DragonCon. This year will be the 27th DragonCon.
Wow.
That's awesome.
That is just amazing. And when does registration start? When do the registration offices open and such at the convention?
On Thursday afternoon.
Okay. And that's going to be at the Sheraton again?
It's at the Sheraton again. That's correct.
Oh, cool. It's always good things.
As we get closer to the convention, just to make sure you know what's going on, keep taking a look at www.dragoncon.org for that information.
Definitely. Now, as far as the convention itself goes, it's been going on for 27 years. I've been going for 20 now. How long have you been going to DragonCon?
I've actually been going for less than you. This is my 8th DragonCon.
Okay. You feel like such a skilled, experienced guy.
Well, my background's a little bit different. I actually came into DragonCon as a volunteer working the help desk, and I did that for 3 years. But my real-life job is IT project manager, and specifically, I had worked many, many years in documentation management, communications management, and training. So I knew how to put together a package and explain things to people. And when this position opened up, I was like, yay, I will do this job and get a free hotel room at DragonCon. And during the interview process, I said that kind of jokingly. And the gentleman interviewing me, our art director, Billy Messina, his eyes got really dark and narrow, and he leaned forward and said, if you think what you're doing is going to be worth a hotel room, you're going to be surprised because you're going to be working all year round. And I'm like, well, no, that can't be possibly. Oh, yeah, I'm working all year round. But on the other hand, I'm part of the most exciting event on the Atlanta cultural skyline. We have an amazing diversity at DragonCon. We have this incredible and inclusive event. I just looked at the statistics. It looks like 49% of the folks who come to DragonCon are coming from outside the state of Georgia.
Wow.
And
amazing.
It's incredible. And every year, my first year working in media relations, we had just added the Sheraton, and we had not yet gone to the Westin. And to think that now all 5 host hotels sell out within minutes, and we have an additional 15 to 20 arrangements with other hotels, most of which are already sold out. And that's another reason to look at the website, is to find a room for DragonCon for those listening outside of Atlanta.
That's very, very cool. Now, it's just amazing the popularity and how much DragonCon grows every single year. Do you guys ever foresee you going to have to cap the number of people coming?
We do. It's not this year, though.
Okay.
And I will tell you that our pre-registration sales are up 40%.
Wow.
Wow.
But
unison and Dolby. Wow.
Yeah, that just sank in. All of a sudden, I'm like, whoa, that's heavy.
That is indeed. There's a couple of reasons. People are getting a lot smarter and getting their pre-registration earlier. The fame of DragonCon continues to grow. The excitement about DragonCon continues to grow. 4 days at DragonCon was again, such a popular documentary a few years ago. In fact, it was the first thing I did after receiving this position of media relations director was drive down the next day to PBS to talk to Jack Walsh and Gordon Ray about the 4 days of DragonCon in an early production meeting. So it's very dear to my heart. This year, Jack Walsh has completed a second or a sequel to that on cosplaying. DragonCon plays a pivotal role in this, but DragonCon is not the only event in the new cosplay documentary that's coming out this summer, but DragonCon's very happy for the role we played in it.
Very cool.
That's very awesome.
Well, just a little while ago when you're saying that, all the work that you do is going to be, it is a year-round job, and it's one of the reasons why we started doing these Dragon Con reports as early as January, these special episodes, just because even in January, there is already so much information about Dragon Con out there.
Absolutely. And I mean, there's some things that are new, not necessarily new for 2013, but are new and are exploding in 2013. One of the things that we've opened the door to is attending professionals for people who have unique skills or willing to participate on panels and have something to offer where they're a professional in their field. I believe that ESO qualifies for attending professionals this year. Most of you, correct?
I know I am.
Yes, I know Mike Faber is attending professional. Bobby Nash is an attending Bobby professional. So,
and I think Mark Maddox. I'm not.
Sure. Excuse me, sir. The award winning
Mark Maddox. Yeah, sorry.
Or the award winning Bobby Nash.
Exactly. So yeah, a few of us definitely are going to be there as attending professionals, and it's been a boom because you know it helps bring people who aren't going to be sitting at a table and such, but can help, like Dan said, be at panels or just, you know, help with Dragon Con and help promote it.
Absolutely. And what I love is that the limitation we have with the 400 guests, and this is the most boring topic of discussion, has nothing to do with economics. It has nothing to do with our preferences. It literally has to do with a question of space and the ability to provide quality service to our guests who attend. So working from that point of view, we put the limit in. Trust me, we are looking this year to make sure that this is the best Dragon Con ever. We are getting every guest that's quality that we can get. There's a number of people who've expressed interest that are of the highest caliber who have come before and are just really excited about coming back again.
Very nice. Very, very nice. No, it's amazing. Each year, it just seems it's like a who's who of the geek world almost showing up there.
And not just the geek world, but the pop culture world.
Well, exactly. And that's what I was going to go with. You actually see people that aren't even as guests there, but you see celebrities walking through, you know, who are either in the area or they specifically come just for Dragon Con because it's become such a thing.
And you know, I've only seen one of them myself, but I've heard so many urban legends, I never know what to believe or not. Zach Galifianakis stretching out on the carpet. Is the one I heard last year. I'm not necessarily sure that I buy that as a legitimate story, but you never know. You know, we've always had Adam from the Mythbusters, and Jamie comes just to attend.
Wow.
I have seen Jamie as an attendee, as a member of Dragon Con, not as a guest.
Wow. Have you really?
And I know that they walk around in Stormtrooper outfits, folks.
Wow.
FYI. Just saying.
Well, the year I met Adam Savage, he was dressed up as V for Vendetta. And I had a half hour conversation before I realized who I was talking to. And it was awesome.
Well, certainly you see that at night. You see that a lot of the guests and celebrities are mingling with a lot of the attendees and looking at the costumes and enjoying the crowds and the fans. And there's not, there are definitely, it seems like there's a lot more camaraderie at Dragon Con than a lot of other shows.
Absolutely. And one of the things that it's kind of a bittersweet story, but in my younger days at Dragon Con, I used to partake of nicotine. I was a smoker and I had a smoking buddy who was Robert Asprin. And, you know, unfortunately, just about the time that I realized that this was not good for me, it kind of took him away. But we would just sit there and hang out and just smoke and talk about New Orleans and talk about I-10 and talk about going to Houston and just nothing significant, just talk. And that's what you can do at Dragon Con with anybody.
Yeah, that's So it makes the show, well, just one of the things that makes the show so special. So any other last minute news that we want to keep an eye out for?
Something to wow us.
No pressure.
Come on, Dan. Bring the dazzle. Bring the dazzle. Come on.
That we don't have an ESO exclusive?
That's a no.
No. His tongue is so tied right now.
He's like, way to put me on the spot, Gordon.
No, no. It's the worst part is there's like five things I want to blurt out. Five things I want to blurt out. None of them I can. So I'm going to go with something awesome, which is our charity drive this year has been altered a little bit. First off, in addition to the money raised from the DragonCon members and the charity auctions, we will be adding another $50,000 into the charity pool.
Nice.
Secondly, we are currently having voting that will be the winner will be announced next Tuesday on the May 1st. There's five charities competing, and I'm not going to try to name them because if I do, I'll mess them up. But you can go to drencon.org and see the charities that are up and for the competition now. The two that have the lowest votes will get $10,000 each. So the first place winner in the competition will get 50% of the money raised at DragonCon plus the 50% of the 50,000. The second place will get 30% of the total money raised, and the third place will get 20%. So all five of the charities in competition right now will get a substantial donation from DragonCon. In addition, we're going to be having our blood drive again. We're going to try to set the record as we try to do every year, and we come close for the largest blood drive outside of a natural disaster, and this year we have a chance to win it.
Sweet.
Well, some people have called DragonCon a natural disaster, but that's...
Man-made.
Exactly.
Man-made disaster. Yes, exactly.
But right. in the best possible way.
Of course. Of course. Of course. I say it with love in my heart, of course.
Absolutely. And we, you know, one thing that's really important about DragonCon is we're a hotel show. We grew up in hotels. We want to stay in hotels. And, you know, we are just lucky to have these five four-star hotels that hosts us each year.
That's very cool, sir. Very, awesome. Very cool.
Well, thank you so much for joining us again. We really appreciate your time, Dan, and you do such an amazing job as the spokesperson. So I can't think of a better candidate or a better person we'd like to have on the show in the future.
Excellent. And thank you. And also thank you for everything that you do throughout the year for DragonCon.
Well, you're all more than welcome. How can people find the media division of DragonCon?
http://mediarelations.dragoncon.org, or you can email me at mediarelations@dragoncon.org. I'll answer almost any question.
Okay, and now that Dan has left, now we have his ESO co-host of the Seriously Dan podcast with us, Mary Lou Who.
Hey, guys.
Welcome, Mary.
Thank you. Thank Yay. You so much.
And congratulations on the new podcast with Dan.
Oh, thank you. It was a lot of fun. I'm doing every other podcast with Dan, and I think it'll turn out to be something really cool.
Well, from what I've heard of the first two episodes, it sounds great so far.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
And as always, we are happy that you can join us, and you're just in time because it's the segment for new guest announcements.
Yes, the best part.
Oh, yeah. And boy, do we have a lot of new guests announced this last month.
Tell us, Mike.
All right. Coming from Battlestar Galactica, Edward James Olmos.
Woo!
You know, Adama himself will be there.
He really loves Dragon Con. He's been here several times now, so.
Yes.
He makes some good money.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Very much so. He has lines waiting for him to take pictures with.
Sure does.
And, all right. Then we also have announced was Maurice LaMarche. For those who don't know who that is, he is the voice of Toucan Sam, but also more famously known as The Brain from PG and The Brain.
Very cool. Mm-hmm.
So I'm really
Doesn't he also do some voices on Futurama as well?
Yes, he does. Yes. The recently canceled Futurama, as we like to say.
True. It'll be back.
Oh, yeah. Jennifer Spence was announced. She plays Dr. Lisa Park on Sci-Fi's Stargate Universe. And actually, next one, I'm really looking forward to, especially because with his health scare he had this last year, Peter David's coming back to Dragon.
Yes, it says nice.
Yay, Peter.
Nice
to see everyone.
Yes.
Raise your glass to Mr. David, folks.
Well, indeed. You know, Peter has always had a special part. I love his writing and stuff, but Peter also was on the very first panel that I had ever done at Dragon Con.
Oh.
So it was like right out from the gate, my first panel was with Peter David. I was like, we also have, let's see, Don Ross has been announced. Don is an award-winning writer and illustrator, best known for his adventures of doing Scrooge McDuck and Donald Duck and other Disney characters. Of course, Jane Epson was announced from Buffy the Vampire and, of course, Torchwood. And also now she's working on Once Upon a Time.
That's true.
And like yes. Every other good show on TV.
Yes.
Yep. She's one of the co-creators of Warehouse 13.
Yes. Abney Park has been announced. Dr. Q has basically told me I had to announce that. They're they're a steampunk band out of Seattle, and I saw them partly for a little bit last year, and they were really cool. Then we also had, Mike will be very happy, Janelle Williams from Warehouse 13 will be coming.
Yes, when they announced that Eddie McClintock was coming, I was very excited, not only because he's coming, but they also hinted that there would be other Warehouse 13 guests, and she's one of the other ones that will be there as well.
Exactly.
Awesome!
Of course, MacGyver himself will be attending Dragon Con for the second year in a row. Richard Dean Anderson is coming back.
Yeah, when I saw that, I was kind of surprised, but I guess, you know, having a line that shuts down the Hall of Fame for crowd concerns means you're coming back next year. So there you go.
Yeah, I was surprised too.
He doesn't do a lot of shows, so that does really say a lot.
No, exactly, because I think before last year's Dragon Con, it's been quite a few years since he had done a con.
I think apart from San Diego, Dragon Con is the only fan show he's ever done.
Really?
Wow. In the United States. I think he's done some in Canada for Stargate, but I think in the United States, that's the only one he's done.
Gotcha. Yeah, well, it had been long enough that he forgot the answers to all the questions. So. It had been a while.
And that would be the other reason why I was surprised. Maybe he's had a refresher course in his own shows by now. I don't know.
That is awesome.
It's funny.
Of course. Another for Torchwood fans, we have finally, hopefully she'll come this year, is Eve Miles.
Yes.
She's been announced. Gwen Cooper herself.
And that makes me hope that Berriman and Kai will be back again as well, because could you imagine that panel?
Oh,
that
sir, the rumors that I've heard. I've been sworn to secrecy.
If you got a line on Berriman, Faber, I am going to take you out.
Oh, I am
seriously.
So nice.
I know, right?
You have to buy me a drink first, sir.
I will buy you a drink. Don't you worry. You will be so drunk, you won't even know what's happened to you after I'm done with you.
Uh-oh. My wife is nearby, you have to remember that.
It'd be like Friday night, basically.
Exactly.
It'd be like a normal day for Darren. It'd
be a normal day for me, but for you, it's Friday.
I, you know what? I think a normal day for Darren would be a life-changing experience for me.
Oh, yeah. So
we should have like everyone in ESO does the same thing at Dragon Con night. Like
that's kind of
Darren
scary.
And Mary style.
Uh-oh.
Oh. Not Gangnam style. That's gone.
Is that
we should take everyone out. We'll just take everyone out and see what happens.
I'm game. Sure, why not?
Good luck.
We also had, of course, Kathy Najimy was announced.
Mm-hmm. Yay.
She, of course, is known as Peg Hill for current fans of King of the Hill. And, of course, she's also known from Sister Act, and she's a stand-up comedian. She's been in about half a zillion TV shows. So if you don't recognize her,
Focus, sir.
Exactly. With Bette Midler and Sarah Michelle Gellar. No, not Sarah Michelle Gellar. No. Jessica Parker.
Sarah Jessica Parker.
Yes. So it should be actually very cool to meet her. And so it should be, you know, a really good bunch of groups. And there's a lot more people they have announced, and it's changed. Being updated every day. So you go to the dragoncon.org site, folks, and you will see a ton of folks being announced.
Yes, one of the other ones I wanted to add real quick is that CCH Pounder is going to be there as well from Warehouse 13. So we've got three Warehouse 13 folks going to be there so far.
I loved her. Yeah, I loved her from The Shield.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And I believe she was the voice of Amanda Waller on Justice League Unlimited as well. So she's got some pretty heavy-duty geek cred right there. So
yes, yes. So that's going to be awesome. She is an amazing actress. So
mm-hmm. That she is.
But yeah, you're right. The list keeps getting bigger and bigger. And as Dan said, there's more bombshells to be announced. So
you don't know how badly I want to tell you guys, but no.
Well, on that note, we will go.
I can get to Marietta in a heartbeat. I'm telling you. I will find you.
We will go into now. Actually, I think it's time to talk with our other guest, Miss Meredith Placco. And joining us on the station once again is Meredith Placco, costumer extraordinaire, and also goes by the name Anna Aesthetic online. Welcome back to the station.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me back.
So it's just a little over 100 days till Dragon Con. How are you? Are you prepared?
Oh, it's that soon?
Yeah.
That answered your question right there, Mike.
Said that. Mike, Jesus.
What, compared to Dragon Con's past, do you think you're doing all right? Are you in a good place, or are you going to have to, you know, really bust butt in the last, you know, going into it?
Well, I think in a lot of ways, Dragon Con's going to be a lot easier for me. In the past couple of years, I've actually made more than just my own costumes. I tend to be one of the main seamstresses in my group of friends. But this year I said, sorry, guys, I love you all, but I can't just keep pumping out costumes for everyone else. So I'm pulling back, focusing on me a whole lot. And I'm actually trying to do something new where I don't have like 8 new costumes for every convention, but I try to do like one big tier costume for my main cons. So come Dragon Con, I'll have like a really epic haul of new costumes to wear. So I've got some stuff planned for Heroes Con, some stuff planned for A-Con in Dallas, and some stuff planned for San Diego, and only 2 new things planned for Dragon. So I'm actually pretty excited about my timetable right now.
All right, cool. I think having the other cons kind of helps you with the, you know, getting the costumes ready in preparation for Dragon Con, I guess.
Yeah, it really does. It makes it a lot easier to really focus on what needs to get done and when.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, for those that don't know, now, how long have you been going to Dragon Con?
My very first Dragon Con was in 2004. I fled the state of Florida due to some hurricanes and came to Atlanta and went to Dragon Con.
Wow. And never looked back?
Never went back. It was the best convention I'd ever been to.
Very nice. Very nice. And were you costuming right from the beginning?
Oh, yeah. I've been actually costuming since 1999. So there was no question when I went to Dragon Con that there would be cosplay involved.
Awesome. Awesome. Now, was that one of the main attractions for you at Dragon Con?
Actually, no, because I really, you know, when I went actually in 2004, it was with a radio show out of Orlando that I was with. So we actually went to cover Dragon Con. We not only had press passes, but we had a space to record live. So that was my main reason for the first Dragon Con. And I guess I didn't realize like what Dragon Con really was. I didn't understand, like, you know, I'd been to like MegaCon, which is a huge convention based con, but I didn't realize exactly the scope of Dragon Con and how it overtook at that time 4 hotels. And I was like, whoa, this is Nerd Vegas.
and you couldn't imagine it getting any bigger, right?
Yeah. And then, you know, last year, and I'm like,
yeah, I know. I've been going since, 94 myself. So it's just been amazing. Even that early though, I mean, I think costuming was a large part of Dragon Con, more so than any other convention that I've been to.
Yeah. I mean, really Dragon Con is the show. I bring out all my big costumes, like all the best of the best from the year or planned for it. Dragon Con is the one I really debut them at.
Gotcha. Now, also, we covered last week when we did a segment on convention etiquette, and this is sort of something that we've covered when we talked to cosplayers before, but it's really seemed to come out, I think, in the last maybe 3 or 4 weeks, this movement, cosplay does not equal consent, which I know that is all over your Facebook page.
Yeah, I actually, it's funny, a couple months ago now, back in March, there was some incidents that I had some friends of mine had ran into at both MomoCon and MegaCon. And then the same weekend at MegaCon, when PAX East was happening, Megan Marie, who is a very amazing and well-known costumer, but also works for Crystal Dynamics that put out Tomb Raider, had a really jarring incident in which a member of the press asked a very sexually loaded question to some Lara Croft costumers, and Megan stepped up and was like, hey, this isn't right. And then from that, I was actually going to write a piece based on that. And as I'm sitting there typing out the last bits of my article, I like log online and I follow 16-bit Sirens, which is a really good like pro female gaming costume site. And they had posted the cosplay is not consent that they had done out at WonderCon. And I was just blown away by what Sushi Killer did. And I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. This is what the community needs. So I found a way to work that angle into my article. And, you know, hopefully, you know, through my article on Geeks Are Sexy, got a lot more attention for 16-bit Sirens, because I mean that was just, I think everyone not just women but everyone in the cosplay community really took to heart what Sushi Killer said and really ran with it.
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, we've been talking to some other customers both in all of our Dragon Con reports in years past, and there does seem to be this sort of dark cloud over costuming, especially well with Dragon Con. It was usually attributed to the people who were not at the convention regulars.
Yeah, you know, which, like, because I've had, like, the sports stuff, the sports games going on, the sports ball, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, with the security measures coming in place with the last couple years, we kind of thought that that might go away, that sort of attitude might go away, but I've heard that in some cases it's worse now.
Yeah, I think, I mean, unfortunately, as the idea of conventions in geek chic, you know, is getting a lot more mainstream attention, you know, more and more people are coming into the convention scene, and not just like quote unquote outsiders, but I think also with the younger generation, just, you know, the way I've seen a lot of behavior degenerate, through the internet, within our own, you know, cultures, our own fandoms, you know, just the cavalier that people have that they can kind of say and do what they want online. It's bleeding over into real life. You know, there's a growing issue of people, and it's not just men, it's women too, doing and saying things that, you know, in mainstream normal society would be considered inappropriate. So I don't understand why in costume it's somehow okay.
Yeah, definitely. I certainly have seen that kind of behavior attributed to, you know, spring breakers.
Yeah.
and in some ways Dragon Con does sort of have this in particular Dragon Con does sort of have this party atmosphere.
Yeah, I mean, Dragon Con, it's an older, you know, it caters to an older crowd, and I mean it's funny, right before we started I was texting with a friend who was kind of upset that someone else was complaining about how, like, oh, I can't stand Dragon Con because it's a bunch of swingers and degenerates and pedophiles, and it's like, yeah, you know, there is that element there. Like I was kind of shocked, you know, the first time that I was with my boyfriend at the time and a couple came up and invited us back to their hotel room. And I'm like, whoa, first off, you're 50, I'm 25. That's really awkward. And two, no, I mean, but you know, there isn't a very large, I guess, alternative lifestyle, but the problems don't come from those people. I mean, at least they were really respectful when we turned them down. Also really 50, let's be honest here.
Hey, age discrimination there. Come on.
As I'm climbing that age, I'm like,
I know what I am. I'm sorry. I'm age discriminating. It's so mean. It's so terrible of me. But the problems aren't coming from those people. It's not coming from, you know, the crowd, I guess, because, you know, people who are into that lifestyle, they know and respect it. So they don't kind of, you know, the problem is coming from just like, I just don't know. It's random people. It's just, you know, And I can't even really say anything from personal experience because I've never really had anything like that happen to me, because I think I'm the type of person that I shut that shit down. Like, I will not, if anyone comes even close to me where I feel like, you know, they might go in for like a side boob grab or, you know, say something inappropriate, I shut it down. I don't laugh it off. I don't, you know, think it's cute or funny. I just, you know, don't let it get to that point. So I wish I had a better answer as to like who these people are and why, but I think it's just, it's becoming a little accepted. And so I think people are getting away with it. And my fear is, you know, and this is something I read about from a girl that this happened to, that a lot of women will just kind of laugh it off. You know, when a guy makes an inappropriate comment or something, you kind of laugh it off. And sometimes that's okay. Like, I mean, you know, I don't know. I can't really say, because like there are times I make highly inappropriate comments, but they're amongst my friends. And there's a certain behavior. Like if you're within my inner circle, you can make those jokes. If you're not within my inner circle, you can't make those jokes. So I guess, I don't know. It's a hard thing. I kind of lost my train of thought there because there's just so much to talk about with.
No. This. Yeah. And I think I got you. And especially from, you know, from the other articles, that has been written about the issue as well. It's not like it's, you know, it is a fine line sometimes, and sometimes the line gets blurred, and you are talking about, you know, certain people who, well, just in general, I mean, it's not just geeks and nerds and costumers that it affects. I mean, certain people just don't have a lot of like highly developed social skills. So
where's that filter? You know, where's that filter that says you probably shouldn't be saying that?
Yeah.
I sat there and I just sat there and said, this never happens to me, but you know what? I was just reminded of something that did happen last October. It was someone I actually considered an acquaintance, not necessarily a friend, but a photographer that I had worked with on several occasions. We were at a small convention in Chattanooga, and at one point, I had dropped something and I went down to pick it up, and he was like, "Well, why you're down there?" And I was kind of like, "That's really inappropriate, especially since your wife's right over there." But he was kind of in that circle where I was like, "Oh, that's a little funny, but it's kind of weird coming from this dude." But then the next day, he said something else. I can't remember the specific comment, but it was worse than the whole, "Why you're down there, why don't you," you know? And I kind of like slapped him and I said, you know, "That's really inappropriate," you know, just kind of like the way you slap a friend, not like haul off and punch him, but I kind of like hit him on the arm and I'm like, "Hey, you know, knock that off." And then he's like, "For somebody who was in an abusive relationship, you sure don't know how to hit." And,
oh, that's wrong.
Yeah. And I'm like,
no,
I don't care who you are. And I don't care how, like, my close friends would never say something like that to me. And so that was like, I think that was probably my cosplay is not consent moment, that I'm like, I don't care who the heck you think you are. I don't care if you take my picture or whatever. You have no right to say that to anybody, me being a cosplayer or not.
Wow. He had some cojones.
Yeah.
Which I assume he no longer has.
So. Yeah. Kind of got, I mean, I am not a pretty person when I'm crossed, and my friends that were there did not appreciate it because they didn't know him from a hole in the wall. So they were kind of like, yeah. So he doesn't really get a lot of photography work right now.
I think it really just comes down to respect.
Yeah.
Totally it does.
I mean, you can sort of tell even when people are flirty, you know, there is a certain element of respect there. But some of the instances that I've heard about from costumers, there is a complete lack of respect. They are, you know, more than being objectified.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. Well, yeah. You see, like, even over at the food court over at Peachtree Center, people are trying to relax, take a break. But if you're in costume, people will walk right up to you. "Hey, can I get your picture?" Even though you're shoving food in your mouth and such. It's like, dude, you know, but you can't be rude to them either.
No, you really can't. And it's like, you know, and one of the things that I've seen, the kind of the backlash from the cosplay is not consent stuff, where people are actually trying to justify what's going on. There's no justification. Like, you know, telling a girl that because she's in a costume that, you know, you can do sexual things with her, that's just not appropriate. And furthermore, physically touching somebody, that is not appropriate. You know, but there's no justification for that. And I actually had one guy on my fan page who kind of got really angry. And he's like, "Well, you know, I bet if it was an attractive guy, you wouldn't, you know, be so upset if he said he wanted to bang you." And I'm like, actually, if anyone came up to me and said, "Hey, I want to bang you," I'd be like, "Haha, that's funny. Get the fuck out of my face." Because that's not how I respond to, you know, flirtation. But on that note, I hate to say it, but it's like certain attention is received better than others based on the person. And I'm not saying you have to be like, I don't know, who's really hot? Captain Hook from Once Upon a Time. That dude is hot. If he came up to me and said that, I would be like, haha, that's not funny. But if he was more flirtatious, yeah, I'd be a little bit more apt to that. So, I mean, I get like some people are kind of upset that maybe they're not the physical, like the end on the end, like the, they're not as attractive as other people might perceive them. But I mean, I hate to say it, but this world is kind of like, you know, if you're attractive, you kind of get away with things. But that being said, not everyone's level of attractiveness is the same. Like, what, you know, just because you think Goldie Hawn is hot, you might also think, I don't know, Pam from Archer is also really hot, because everyone has different levels of what's attractive or not.
Sure. If that makes sense. Sure. No, definitely. Definitely. So in terms of, you know, I've noticed also that the most of the support is overwhelming, you know, in the customers' favors. We're talking about, you know, we're still talking about a small percentage of people that are sort of, you know, acting this way. So that's a good thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's not as big of a deal. It's not like an everyday occurrence, you know.
But certainly, you know, for those people out there who are, you know, basically, if you're thinking it might be a bad idea, then it's probably a bad idea.
Yeah.
and certainly, if you see any action, like I think it was in your article as well, that, you know, there are some guys that are they seem to go around and take pictures of the backs of women, and they don't, and so women don't even know until, you know, they're posted online.
Yeah, it's insane. I remember one time at MegaCon, there was a guy who had a stick, and at the end of his walking stick was a camera, so he could get upskirt shots of girls.
Wow.
What?
Yup, he got thrown
wow.
out.
Wow. How Wallowitz of him. Wow, that's just sad.
Also, there's a very well-known superhero costumer who also lives in the Atlanta area, and somewhere on Flickr at one point was a Or photo bucket was an album dedicated to her butt. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's...
Oh, man. Yeah.
So, Meredith, let me ask a question. Just so we can get the opposite side of this. Let's say you're a cosplayer. Let's say you're single. Let's say you look good. What kind of attention would be appropriately received by you in a generic setting?
You know...
Can we help some of these guys who might be actually... Give them some pointers. Yeah, socially inept, and may say the wrong thing, put their foot down their throat, and, you know.
No, compliment the costume. You can never, ever go wrong complimenting someone's, you know, what they're wearing. You know, that's a really awesome costume. Oh, my God. You know, even saying, like, you look great in that. But, I mean, I don't know. If you get offended by someone telling you you look awesome, then, you know, maybe you need to reel in the social justice just a bit. But, you know, find... You know, if you're ever unsure of how someone's going to receive something, always compliment. You know, don't be like, oh, wow, that Power Girl costume makes your boobs look amazing. You know, but find a way to, like, you know, be like, oh, that costume looks great. You look awesome. You know, if there's a particular feature on the costume, you know, oh, wow, your paladin pauldrons look really baller. You know, because I'm totally stuck in the 90s and still say things like baller. yeah, but you can never, ever go wrong complimenting what the person's wearing. And also, like, I don't know, even if they're not hot and not single, I try to encourage people to go and compliment, you know, other people, because, I mean, there is a large, wave of, you know, suddenly, like, all the chicks in fandom are super hot. And I mean, that's great, because I just think it means that we're all, like, paying more attention to our personal appearance. But I know a lot of people I talk to struggle with the, oh, I'm not as pretty as so-and-so, I don't get as much attention. So, you know, maybe kind of go out of your way to find someone who might not, like, you know, be one of those top tier costumers, and make them feel better about themselves by complimenting them. Because everyone likes to be told that they're awesome.
See, that's some good advice for guys who have problems talking to girls when they're at a big convention like Dragon Con. I've always been an advocate of, this is the one time you can probably meet someone who might be into the same thing you're into, so relax and enjoy it and just naturally let yourself come out of your shell. Because once the 5-day weekend, because let's all face it, it's a 5-day weekend now, you could actually find someone and actually strike up at least an internet conversation after the con. And maybe it will turn into something. Who knows?
Exactly.
But you can't do that by saying, hey, baby, you look good bent over in that cat suit. That's not the way to do it.
Yeah. And luckily, most of the guys who are socially awkward, I don't know. I'm a sucker for socially awkward dudes. I think they're really, I don't know, something cute about them, which probably explains all of my failed relationships. I don't know. I think there's a difference between people who are D-bags and people who are socially awkward. And I really do hope, like, the guys who, you know, maybe don't always, like you said, they say the wrong thing by not intentionally, just because they don't know better. you know, one of the best things too, because a lot of people are like, oh, how do you meet a girl and at a or at a convention? Well, obviously you're into something. Like, say, like, Battlestar Galactica is your favorite thing in the world. Go and find yourself, like, you know, really awesome Starbuck costumer. Or if you really love Firefly, go find that adorable little Kaylee costumer. And like you said, just strike up a conversation with her. Because, hey, the bonus is someone in costume, you already know they're into your fandom.
Exactly. And it's just as easy for you to talk to somebody like that. And you already have something in common right there.
Yeah.
And just don't be rude about it. You know, that's the big thing. You know, every time I'm at Dragon Con, I take almost like 1,000 pictures at the show. And every single time I take a picture, I either say, great costume, or thank you for doing that for me. You know, it's just common courtesy type thing. And I always ask them if I could take a picture. And usually if there's a ton of people doing it, they'll nod and go, okay, yeah, no, that type of thing. But I won't interrupt if they're talking to somebody or something like that. I'll just look at them awkwardly. Hey, come on, camera here.
Well, yeah, certainly we don't want to, you know, make it so that those who are timid are even more afraid to talk to attractive women or, you know, customers in general. Because I do know, unfortunately, I do know quite a number of guys, actually, who attend Dragon Con, and some of them are even afraid to approach women and to ask to take their picture. And I'm, it's just sort of like, well, she's in costume, so I think it's okay for you to go up and ask.
Yeah. And if like, barring, like, you know, like, at least for me, unless I'm, like, running to a panel or I have to get somewhere, like, I'm, you know, I'm not going to say no if someone wants to take my picture. I'm like, why else would I be in costume? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm really too busy looking at this Hope Summers figure. You can't take my picture right now because, you know, if I go in the dealer's room, I'll put on jeans and a t-shirt.
No, and that totally makes sense. And the other thing, folks, is just remember, if you see a cosplayer running to the bathroom, that is not like a chance to go ask them for a picture.
Or like, oh God. So here's another story of like, really, come on. I was out at RealmsCon in Corpus Christi, Texas a couple years back. And like literally 2 weeks before I'd left, my mother had had a stroke. And I was like, obviously, like, oh my God, you know, and I was down in Fort Lauderdale with her, and, you know, I'm like, I'm gonna cancel this appearance. And she's like, no, I'm fine. It was a TIA, go have fun. So, you know, I went back to Orlando and flew out to Texas. And as soon as I land in Texas, I get a call from my stepdad that my mom's back in the hospital. So I'm just like, fuck this, I'm leaving. And, you know, my mom gets on the phone. She's like, no, it's just precaution. Don't worry, I'm fine. You know, stay and have fun. So it was on Saturday. This is 2 days after I, you know, told the event staff, I'm like, listen, I have to keep my phone on me. I'm just really worried about my mom. You know, I'm waiting for her. She was having some minor surgery, you know, so I was waiting to get a call about how it went. And so while I'm doing cosplay judging, I get a phone call from my mom, and I walk outside and I'm on the phone, and like, I'm dressed up in costume. And this guy's like, while I'm on the phone, Hey, can I have your picture? And I'm like trying to gesture like I'm on the phone. And he's like, God, you don't have to be so fucking rude. I just wanted your picture. You should be even thankful that someone wants your picture. And like,
you're kidding.
Oh. Yeah. I just set the phone down. I'm like, Mom, excuse me. Cause I got good news that everything was well and she was perfect and she was being discharged. And so I've set the phone. I'm like, sir, I'm on the phone with my mother who was in the hospital after having a stroke. Your picture can fucking wait. My mother is more important than you and everything else around here. And he, like, the look on his face was like, oh shit, I'm sorry.
Yeah. He stepped in it. And I think sometimes at cons, we've all had run-ins with someone who is just rude for no reason at a convention.
Oh, God.
No reason. And it puts a sour taste in your mouth. And that's why I'm a huge advocate of everyone, this is home. Act like you're, you know, in your living room.
Yeah.
Everyone is your guest. You're their guest. Everyone be good to each other and we'll have a great weekend. It only takes a couple of people who are just going to be determined to ruin the day, to ruin your day.
Yeah.
And like, I think that behavior amongst us as geeks who have gone through the crucible of high school,
mm-hmm.
loving crap, being probably not in the cool group because we love that crap, playing Dungeons and Dragons at lunch or whatever, you know, it's time for us to treat each other like we were not treated.
Yeah, it's true. And that's why I really don't like some, like, not just the whole cosplay is not consent, but just some of the bullying, especially I see among the cosplayers. I'm like, again, it's a thing I've been literally saying since 2000. Like, cosplay is the popularity contest, the high school prom queen that none of us were even close to winning. And I hate that, you know, this hobby that should bring us together in so many ways drives so many people apart, because it is about egos and it is about like, oh, how many likes do I have on my fan page? And I'm like, I'm not dressing up for anyone but myself. I'm really fortunate that like 7,000 people happen to like what I do, but it's not what pays my bills. It's not how I get my satisfaction. So I'd rather just like, hey, if I can like help 7,000 people, like, I don't know, learn who a new comic book character is when I like, you know, did Hope Summers before anyone knew who the hell she was, or, you know, teach someone else to sew, I feel like I've done something more than this world than someone like liking my photo because my butt's hanging out. That's just my two cents. I'm really angry right now.
Exactly.
No, and you know, there you should be. Although by the same token, I do want to point out that, you know, for all those, you know, people who want to cosplay, that they shouldn't let something like this stop.
No, you shouldn't. It's super fun. If I had let the popularity contest thing get in the way of cosplaying, I wouldn't be doing this. And I've been doing this since 1999. So obviously I love it because, you know, and I've made all my friends are costumers. Like, I don't have a single friend who doesn't costume. And even when I meet them, if they don't costume after meeting me, they cosplay.
It's a cult.
So real quick, what do you have? What are some other tips that you have, or some words of encouragement for those people who are thinking about costuming?
You know, start small. I know a lot of people get really intimidated with the concept of sewing or making props. If you've never picked up a sewing machine before, make a pillowcase. You learn so many essential techniques by learning to make a pillowcase, like how to hem and how to press. I know it sounds really stupid and it's not going to help you with your convention cosplaying, but hey, now you have a really cool pillowcase that you can bring your own pillow to conventions.
It's kind of like the wax on, wax off of cosplay.
It really is. You know, and don't be afraid to ask for help. There's so many resources out there. Cosplay.com, DeviantArt, people post amazing tutorials just on YouTube, you know. If you don't really have anyone in your area to sew with, you know, there's the internet and there's a lot of places to gather as costumers. The Replica Prop Forum, RPF, the Costumers Guild, there's just a lot of places out there. And have fun. It's such a fun hobby. I know I can be really negative, and I hate that. I think it's just because people really like me to point out the negative things, but it's not all negative, I promise. It's always super, super awesome and fun. The more you sew, the more costume friends you'll meet, and the more people you meet. I don't know. I like to find friends who know how to sew as well, because it challenges me. And, you know, I get a little competitive because I'm like, oh, wow, Lindsay's making that rogue bodysuit. I really like that technique she did on the binding. I'm going to try that on my Jean Grey. And it like kind of causes me to be a better seamstress without like me like going to set her costume on fire.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, thanks so much for joining us here on the station for this episode. Where can people find you online?
You guys can find me on Facebook.com/AnnaAesthetic, on Twitter /MPlacko, PLACKO. And someday I'm going to update my website, which is notthegeeknextdoor.com.
Awesome. And before DragonCon, where can people really see you?
Oh, you can see me in real life at HeroesCon in North Carolina in June. Part of that, I'm going to be at ACON in Dallas, Texas, and then San Diego Comic-Con in San Diego.
Awesome, awesome. Well, I hope people treat you right when you are at those shows.
If they don't, I'm just going to kick them.
Exactly.
Fair enough.
And she wears pretty big heels, guys, so be careful.
Yeah, she does.
Sure, I have to wear heels.
Oh, very cool. Well, thanks so much.
Thanks, guys.
And now we want to do a little segment here where we talk to what we call a DragonCon widow. And we've got with us Judy Faber. Hello, Judy. Welcome to the station.
Thank you so much.
It's been a long time. We've changed stuff around, huh?
I know. Yeah. It looks a little different, but still the same.
We've dusted.
Yes. Well, JD's dusted. But dusted. But we thought it would be interesting to actually get sort of a different side of you about the show. One from someone who wasn't maybe as interested in going to Dragon Con at first, but sort of pulled in by their spouse, in which case this would be Mike, of course. So now, the first time you've ever been to Dragon Con was when?
Oh, my gosh. Mike, how many years ago was that?
Probably about 5 years ago now.
Probably. The first year you went, and you went to the just to the parade, you just took William. I didn't go with you guys.
Right. Then. I think the first 2 years I went, you didn't come, and I think it's my third year that you decided to come with, and you only came for a day.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Now, prior to, of course, going, being from Georgia, obviously you must have heard of Dragon Con before.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I knew other people that went. I never had a chance to go down there.
Yeah, well, gotcha. your friend Sue was really big into it and such.
Oh, for a while, yeah. Yeah, she went down, and I mean, I know other people that are down there pretty much for the whole thing. But
what was the reputation of Dragon Con before you actually got to see it for yourself?
It would be, I remember always seeing stuff all over the news and on like the local news website, things like that. So, that it was a major event downtown, and all the costumes just made a huge impression. But I don't know if I'm the best person to ask what the impression was.
Well, I mean, your own impression. Was it something you thought, man, those people are crazy. I'm not going to be part of that at all.
No, I would have liked to go. But I mean, even though I knew people who were going down there, it's not like, I don't know. I mean, that sounds so sad. Nobody asked me to go. So, not only am I a Dragon Con widow, but I was a Dragon Con reject too.
Well, when you finally did go, what was your impressions?
Oh, no, I think it's great. I had a great time. I don't always do that well in huge crowds of people. So I get irritated, and then, as Mike knows, I start like throwing around curse words and stuff like that. But overall, I have a great time when I go.
Now, last time you actually stayed there in one of the hotels, correct?
I don't think I actually stayed down there, no.
No,
this is going to be her first year actually staying at one of the hotels. William and I stayed with some friends.
Yeah, we didn't arrange for somebody to stay with the dog, so I stayed here at the house.
Gotcha. I think certainly the perspective, once you stay down there, it's a little bit more comfortable. I mean, just peeking in and then going home is almost a surreal experience, I think.
No, I agree with you there, because like, the coming and going and the trying to get another parking spot and everything, I mean, that's kind of a pain. So I think it'll be much more fun to be there the whole time.
Was there anything from your past visits with Dragon Con that particularly stood out, like any costume or person or celebrity or anything like that?
When we went, was it 2 years ago that we saw from I Dream of Jeannie?
Oh, Larry Hagman and Barbara Eden and Bill Daly.
That was awesome. I mean, I loved that. Of course, I can be all geeky about Mike and watch him like talk about all kinds of geeky stuff on the panels that he does. So that's a lot of fun. But yeah, I mean, I think that last year, my favorite costumes were the Slee Stacks. So I thought they were pretty cool, but that's kind of showing my age.
Well, I think you had said your two favorites were the Slee Stacks and also the Menominas.
Yeah, that would be it. But I mean, you know, there's a lot of how do I put this? There's a lot of really cute guys wearing very scant costumes. So I mean, you know, I'd be lying if I said I didn't like that part of it too. So I admire that.
Oh, don't feel bad about that.
Yeah, no, I don't feel bad about it at all.
John.
Starting to feel a little overwhelmed here.
Welcome to our world, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Overwhelmed.
Allow me to give you a sample of overwhelm. Come to a gay bar with me.
Overwhelmed and outnumbered.
I'll just hang with Mary Lou and Darren. We'll be fine.
So I'll have to go. So have you seen your wife this weekend? Oh no, she's off with Darren and Mary Lou. I'm sure they're under a table somewhere.
No,
hey, I have fallen asleep under the chairs in the rave before. I'm just saying.
Fallen asleep in air quotes there, folks. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm right. Yeah, thank you. Fist bump. Boom.
Judy, is there anything from Dragon Con that that you are interested in experiencing this year?
Oh, I'm really embarrassed because now you'll put this on the air, but I'm not that up with what's going on yet this year.
That's okay. That's all right.
Well, she always says she wants to go to, like, the writers' panels and stuff to learn about fiction writing and such.
Yeah, yeah. I did that a couple of years ago, and I really enjoyed some of that. That was neat. But, I mean, I like just wandering around and seeing everything. I mean, you know, there's people that I'd love to go see I hate more than anything. And this is part of me just not liking big crowds. I hate more than anything standing in line for things. But there are certain people that I would probably stand in line for.
Well, I know that from talking to you previously that you've got some geek cred of your own. So who would be somebody that you would want to wait in line for? Who would be a guest that would definitely get your attention if Dragon Con pulled them in?
Well, Darren would probably feel much the same way because I would stand in line for John Barrowman. So,
excellent, excellent. Anyone else?
Who else?
Well, if they got James Bond there.
Oh.
Daniel Craig showed up.
I'd, like, lay myself out on the floor. Are you kidding?
Isn't it funny how at Dragon Con those marriage vows go, woo, right out the window.
Yeah, buddy. Yes,
there's probably a lot of that going on at Dragon Con.
Hey, we're at Dragon Con. Open marriage. There we go.
Suddenly people are making their top five lists based upon who's at Dragon Con. Funny, my list changed. Look at this.
What?
What? Sylvester McCoy?
They just
what?
Announced. Look at that. Sylvester McCoy has made it. Woo!
I'm human. Come on.
Hey, we're not judging.
No, not at all. We're just stating
that's
a fact.
I enjoy this.
Well, cool. Very cool. Well, we definitely look forward to seeing you there this year.
And I will be. And also, as I told Mike earlier, maybe you should do a segment on being a podcast widow as well. Because I can really speak about that one.
Yes, well, I think that's one that we'll look into that.
Maybe sometime in 2015, which should be about, we should have that on the schedule.
2015?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess we'll still be married then.
Depends on what happens at Dragon Con this year.
All right, we gotta have Judy on more often.
Oh, thank you, Darren. I'd be glad to.
Cool. Well, thanks again.
All right, you guys have fun.
And now it's time for another Keep Calm and Go to Cons report with Nikki Rao Baker. Hey, Nikki, welcome back.
Hello. Thank you. Good to be back.
I understand tonight's topic is photo ops.
Exactly, yeah. I wanted to talk a little bit about photography because we know that one of the great things about going to conventions is all the memories that you have later on. And sometimes for those of us who might imbibe a little too much, the only memories that we retain are the ones that we get in photos.
I don't know what you're talking about at all.
I'm just saying, you know.
I don't think you've ever been to Dragon Con.
If it wasn't for photos, none of us would remember what
exactly,
happened.
Exactly. The good,
don't
the bad.
Cloud the issue. Do not cloud the else. Issue with facts, people. Do not cloud the issue with facts. That's all I ask.
So a couple of the things that I wanted to talk about this evening are what to take with you in the way of photo gear and some apps that you can use on your phone that can make you look like a professional photographer, even if you're not. So for those of us that are kind of geeky about photography and have either a DSLR, a digital SLR camera, or just a regular old-fashioned film SLR camera, and you want to get those really good close-up shots, but you don't want to drop $5,000 on a telephoto lens, good news for all of you. There is a website called lensrentals.com. that will allow you to rent lenses for up to 2 weeks, I believe. And you can get some really nice high-end lenses. And you don't have to worry about, like I said, paying a ton of money. And that way you can spend all the rest of your money on cool swag in the dealer's rooms. So that's lensrentals.com. And you can get lenses for pretty much any type of camera that is out there. Nikon, Fuji, Canon, you know, some of the big name cameras that are out there have some nice lenses that you can pick up from there. So speaking of taking really good pictures while you're in panels, please do not use the flash when you're in panels. I know that they put the message out there, don't use a flash during the panels. And the reason that they say that is because it's going to, for a couple of reasons. One, it's going to wash out your picture. Two, is it's going to blind the guests on stage if you have a really huge flash. And three, if it's far in the back of the room and you're using a little tiny flash, it's really not going to make any difference. And it's just going to annoy the people that are around you. So instead of using your flash, just try to adjust your ISO to accommodate the low light situations. Take a tripod or a monopod with you for the parade. Monopod is better because it takes up less space on the ground, and that way you're not, you know, hogging up a bunch of room on the parade route. The monopod is also good to use as the days and hours of the convention progress and you need a little help walking. You can use it as a walking stick. You can pretend you're a wizard and tell people they can't pass, or you can pretend you're a ninja and fight people off. So yeah, take a tripod or a monopod. Make sure you take extra batteries and extra memory cards, and make sure that your memory cards are labeled with your initials in case you're staying in a room with a couple of other people. And you guys have the same memory cards. You want to make sure that you go home with your photos and not the photos of the person that you're staying with, especially if they're kind of weird and they're into furries, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. That would be a shocker, wouldn't it?
Do not block the walkways or take photos near elevators or escalators. There's usually going to be a spot that a lot of people are going to gather when they're doing these quick impromptu photo shoots. And if you see that and you want to take a picture, go ahead and jump over and take a picture. But don't, you know, if you see a guy dressed as Iron Man, don't stop him right at the top of the escalator and say, hey, can I take your picture right here? Ask people, can I take your photo? Most of the time they'll say, yeah, sure. And, you know, scoot out of the way and take the photo and move on. Try to not block any of the pathways, not only as a courtesy for others, but also so you don't get knocked down by people who aren't paying attention or by people who have costumes that impede their vision. Like I said, ask someone if they can take their, if you can take their picture. Usually they will stop and take the picture, but they usually know the poses that look the best. Don't tell them, can you stand like this and do that? They have spent time working on their costume. They know it's going to look good. Mary Lou can attest to this. I'm sure she has her cache of poses that she likes to use depending on what costume she's got. So just ask them, can I take a photo? And they'll usually say, yeah, sure. And they'll do whatever pose they think is best for wherever you're standing and appropriate to the costume that they're wearing.
I agree. You're good.
Okay.
That was super helpful. You're welcome.
Pro tip. Yes, you're good.
I don't know. I think there are a few exceptions. Like if it's, you know, if it's just you and them and they've already done what they want to do, then, but it's like something that like maybe they didn't think of that's cool. I mean, don't ask them to do like anything sexual, but if it's like, you know, this character is famous for this particular pose, but they didn't do it and you want them to do it, I think it's okay to ask under the right circumstances.
Yeah. And you know, like if your friend is there with you and you say, oh, hey, Mr. Stormtrooper, can you please point your gun at my friend, knowing that even if you did shoot, you wouldn't hit him anyway. You know, can you go ahead and pretend like you're going to shoot him? You know, stuff like that. Yeah, they're usually pretty cool about things like that.
Yeah, totally.
If you do get the chance to take somebody's photo, be sure to say thank you. Say please and thank you. Remember your manners. And also, do not distribute the photo for profit. Use the photos for personal use only. As somebody who owns a vehicle that is highly recognizable, I don't like seeing when people use a picture of my property to, you know, pimp their own website or whatever. So if you take somebody's photo, don't go out there, claim it as your own. Don't try to make a buck off of it. And always make sure that you, when you post it on your website, say, these are my personal photos, do not use for profit. Because, you know, a lot of the costumes that are out there are, they're under copyright. And we do this for fun. We do this as homage. So don't get the person that's in the costume, don't get them into trouble. Lastly, there are a lot of really good apps on your phone that will help you tweak your photos. Everybody knows about Instagram. It's not just for food, boys and girls. You can actually use it for other stuff. A couple of the apps that I like to use are an app called PicJointer. And what that will allow you to do is to create frames of up to 4 photos and post that to Facebook or post it to your Twitter feed, to your Tumblr feed, things like that. Another really cool one is Tilt Shift. And what Tilt Shift will do is it will blur out the edges of a photo and bring the center of whatever it is that you're wanting to focus on. It'll bring that into hyper focus. You can adjust the color. You can adjust the vignetting, meaning how much of the photo is actually shown. And you can also adjust the blur on that. Those are both for Apple and Android phones. So lastly, last thing that I want to let everybody know about is when you are taking photos, remember to take your lens cap off.
That's always a good thing to do.
Yes.
I can't tell you how many times I've gone, you know, early in the morning, why they start the parade so ridiculously early is beyond me. But, you know, we've all been up the night before having a little fun. You stumble out to the sidewalk for the parade, going to get your shot set up, and you're like, man, what is wrong with my camera? You turn it off, turn it on, check. Oh, I've got a good battery. What's going on? Oh, wait, lens cap is on. Hello. So, yeah, that has happened to me on more than one occasion, sadly.
You know.
So that was it.
I'm wondering about using all those tweaking tools on my phone while I'm drunk to adjust pictures. I wonder how they would turn out.
Oh, God only knows what they would look like. That would be pretty amusing. I think you should do that.
Autofocus is your friend.
Yes, exactly.
No, sir. No, sir. Vodka is my friend, okay? And rum is his cousin. Okay?
Come on. Figure it out.
Autofocus is secondary. It's artistic. It's artistic.
Tequila is a rotten bastard. I don't care what he says, okay?
Don't listen to that guy.
Don't listen to tequila no matter what you do, people. Don't do it.
What's the saying? 1 tequila, 2 tequila, 3 tequila floor?
Yeah, pretty much. So goes.
Yeah?
Yeah, we're slutty.
Oh, I love you, Mary Lou. Mary.
I don't know anything about that.
Very cool, Nikki. Appreciate it. You know, photography is probably the most common hobby at Dragon Con, I would say. So it's pretty cool. I think definitely for anybody who's like an amateur, from the professionals are all there, because there's definitely, almost anywhere you look, there's something to take a picture of.
Oh yeah, definitely. And you know, don't worry about framing your shot perfectly. There are so many apps out there that you can use to reframe your shot, to crop your shots. If you see something cool, just grab your phone, grab your camera, and take a photo. Because you can always, as we say in the industry, fix it in post.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those events where, if I start taking pictures, I don't want to stop, because I just want to take a picture of everything. So some days I just don't want to take any pictures at all, because it's like, if I start, I just will not want to stop.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that is always a hard thing for somebody who is an avid photographer, is to strike that balance between paying attention to what's being said in the panel, enjoying the panel, enjoying the convention, and just being a shutterbug. That's one of the things that I always struggle with, especially in panels where the guests are somebody that I'm really excited about seeing, and I'm wanting to capture as much of it as I can. And so I just sit there with the camera glued to the front of my face, and I miss a lot of what's being said. So, you know, try to find that balance between enjoying yourself in the panel and still getting some good shots too.
Definitely, definitely. Well, very cool. Well, thanks for that. And we look forward to hearing your next report in episode 5.
Thank you very much.
Very cool. Well, now we have a special segment, a special segment for your ear holes. As Phantom has said, yes, Phantom Troublemaker has, well, let's just say this is not for the kids nor the weak of heart. So listen at your peril.
Hey, boys and girls, Phantom Troublemaker, and I'm here with Les Sexoflex, the winners of the Naughty Contest. And we're going to talk just a little bit about Dragon Con, because it's the very best thing ever in the history of the world. I'm here with Miss Lady Flex and Peep Peep. What do you guys think about Dragon Con? You have a little bit of affection for it, am I right?
Dragon Con.
Dragon Con.
It's the time to do the Marriott Cock Squat, which is a mating dance you can do to... get laid. It is one of the only sci-fi and fantasy conventions that I think also leads to people having a lot of sex.
If you haven't been laid all year long, you know
you'll get laid at
Dragon Con. I just got to sing along with Les Sexoflex. My life is complete. If you can call that singing on my part. So you guys have been going for many, many years now. What do you do as far, have you ever done any of the costuming outside of maybe a little furry play?
The first year that we sort of, guerrilla performed at Dragon Con, we did do some, what we affectionately call fashionable furry costumes. For example, I wore some, leopard underwear and pretty much nothing else. Vas D had a sheepskin bungee cord, outfit. Very fashionable. Peep was a sexy Viking furry of the North. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Princess Genius, I believe, was a sexy polar bear. We did it upright. But I think outside of that cosplaying, we tend to kind of do, whenever we do our band costumes, we kind of come up with our own theme for it. We did a sexy supervillain look with the stars, which you, I think there's a poster picture of us that Josh Meister took of us on top of the hover dumpster, and I think that's our most semi-cosplay looking item, even though it's sort of an original piece.
We're like superheroes from a Daft Punk video.
Well, you guys have had a few different like coordinated costumes. Mm-hmm. Do you guys kind of put those together yourselves, or you got somebody that...
Peep and, when Vas D was in the band, Peep and Vas D used to do almost all of the sewing because, Princess Genius and I don't know how to work those things. they are things that we, that the two of them sort of would spearhead, and now Peep is sort of left in charge, making us look pretty.
When you're not busy spearheading other things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So Dragon Con, everybody knows you certainly can get laid at Dragon Con.
Absolutely.
When you go down there, do you have sort of a plan? Do you do it all out? Do you drop by and just see a few people? Do you stop by at night to party? What's your agenda when you go down there?
I like to go to as many bizarre panels as possible. That's sort of my thing. I like to do the panel survey. I went to Batu D2 last year. I tried to go to some on polyamory, but I got too confused about the contracts and I left because my entire life is sleeping around. I thought it was just like, it was too confusing. I think as a group, typically we like to go at night and, stop by, for photo ops with anybody that looks amazing. We enjoy, visiting with cosplayers and taking pictures with them, and then, of course, having people recognize our fun faces. We're all in it for the fame.
We hate having our photos taken.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I know how that feels. That's half of my agenda down there now, is getting my picture taken with people in various costumes, because there's just something about having that big giant stack of pictures to put up on your Facebook page or your Friendster account or your MySpace, which is now some kind of strange music website that I don't understand.
That's so confusing. Oh, gosh. So I think probably the sexiest person I ever got my picture with was Waluigi. It was somebody as sexy Waluigi.
Wow.
It was really bizarre. It was a group of four dudes all in gym shorts and sexy tops, and they had different Mario Brothers themed hats.
Oh, I've got my picture with Mario and Luigi of that particular group
sexy
of
sexy Mario and sexy Luigi?
Yes.
I tried to have a threesome with sexy Mario and Luigi last year.
And they wouldn't power you up?
I can't believe nobody would gobble your mushroom.
No, why wouldn't they? Somebody's got to jump on your Koopa Troopa. I don't know what that means.
So, okay, do you guys think that, I think there's a limit to the sexy costume thing. I think we're getting a little far when we have sexy Ewoks.
Yes. I didn't think they sexually reproduced. I thought that they just reproduced in, by osmosis, just splitting into each other.
I thought they were like gremlins.
Oh, like you get them wet and then the nether one spawns off of it?
Right, which is, I guess, kind of how humans work also, if you put it that way, but...
Oh, hey-o.
Hey-o.
But, Ewok reproduction, that's where we go here. That's what we bring to the table.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it seems like year after year now, speaking of costumes being a little bit too sexy, I personally have a huge amount of respect for people who put in the effort to make their own costumes. It's a skill that I do not have at all, as I found out when I tried to make a sort of luchador Mandalorian mix a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not my thing. I can't wear a costume like that, and I can't really make a costume like that. But
you tried.
I did try. I gave it my all. But the people that actually make their costumes, I have a lot of respect for. But then you've got the sort of the Party City crowd.
Oh, that go and buy it and they just want to show up and have, like, it's Halloween too.
Yeah, exactly. And see, that's the thing is I don't know whether to dislike that or not, because they're partying and they're having fun and they're hanging out at the Dork Fest, and that's awesome and I encourage that.
Mm-hmm.
But can't help but look at their slutty Batgirl outfit and think, maybe you could have done something different.
Right. It's that they wanted to put some effort out there, but not enough effort. Like, well, you might as well have just shown everybody your wadge.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
You might as well have just done that, because that's the same thing. Is, well, you can either be kind of semi-nerdy or all the way slutty, and that's just like, okay. It just doesn't make – it's strange, because part of the love of cosplay is showing, yes, I love this. And the other part is, but I have ingenuity, so – it's hard to shun that, but I think it's sad that that's like a that's just where we automatically go, is you didn't spend enough time on that. Come on.
Well, and it is, and it's part of that. It's that sort of evil, judgmental side of every nerd.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's part of being a fan of something that's a niche or a genre, is that if you're in it first, it's almost kind of like you have to tamp down that judgment and just be like, no, they're here to have fun. Bring them into our world. Stop being such a jerk. Because I find myself doing that a lot.
Sometimes they're just nice people who wanted to wear something silly that day. The friend had, oh, I don't know, like a Wolverine bikini in their room. And they're like, wear this. And they're like, okay. So it's sometimes that's the case.
Well, and I've got to say, Marvel Comics has officially endorsed Sexy Wolverine with X-23. So.
Oh, perfect. Okay, well, I'll be on the lookout for that next Wednesday.
So, but DragonCon, not coming till September, but still, it's a looming thing year-round, because it's something you kind of, to some degree, plan for throughout the year. I mean, it's certainly something I look forward to throughout the year. Do you guys find yourselves as excited about it as you used to be, or is it something that's just like, well, we do that in September?
I look forward to it all year. I do actually get a lot of great art there. I got a Dr. Hoomster art last time. and a lovely some Game of Thrones fan art too that I really, really liked. So I look forward to it for things like that, and just for the social aspect of it, for seeing people that I don't normally see, various bloggers and just friends of mine that I've made over the years. It's nice to reconnect and also just to see the people who are rock stars there and at no other convention. Like, you would not recognize them on the street, but if you're at Dragon Con, everybody knows who they are. That's kind of a neat thing to experience.
Yeah, it is. And you definitely have that set of Dragon Con friends, those people that you kind of only see there, really.
Mm-hmm.
But it's okay.
Yes, because that's where they live.
Yeah.
In the Hyatt.
In the Hyatt.
And they only emerge every year. That's their home. And that's how that happens.
At the Hyatt.
At the Hyatt.
And when they come outside, if they see their shadow, then there's 6 more weeks of dorkery.
Yes. I think that's a perfect button.
What the hell? She's staying at the Hyatt.
Well, this has been a quick chat with Les Sexoflex about Dragon Con.
Dragon Con.
Dragon Con.
Thanks, Phantom. I don't see how we could possibly top that segment. I don't see how anything could else follow it. So for now, we will say adieu. I want to thank everybody who came on, including Judy Faber and Meredith Placco, as well as Dan Carroll. And, of course, our regular crew. Nikki, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Great to be here, as always.
What is your next convention that you'll be at?
I'm actually pretty excited. In one more day from today, from the day of this recording, I will be going to Chicago for C2E2.
That's a great show.
Yep, I'm looking forward to it. And when I come back, I will be presenting some of the information that I uncovered.
Ooh. Ooh,
yes. That'd
be, yes, definitely. Yeah, definitely we have to get you on ESO for that.
Mm-hmm.
So, cool. Mary, thanks again for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
And your next show?
My next show, I don't believe, will be until Timegate, actually, on Labor Day, or Memorial Day weekend.
Awesome. Awesome. So, I know some people who are going to be there.
I don't know anybody that's going to be there.
I'm sure we'll make some friends real quick there.
I might even know their names. I might be able to guess.
Their name is Tequila.
We told you that's a sly bastard. Come on.
Mm-hmm. And Darren, thank you again as well.
You're welcome, sir.
And I'll be next
AtlantaCon. AtlantaCon. First weekend in May at 85 and
Claremont
at the Marriott Century Center. I'll be there. It's the local lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgendered, questioning sci-fi fantasy convention. It's a big hoot and a half. And we do welcome straight allies, so anyone who wants to come by, please feel free to come by.
Very cool. Very cool. Mike, thanks again. We definitely, I couldn't do this without you, man.
Hey, my pleasure. It's always fun to be here and actually sit in the guest seat for once.
And what's your next show?
My next show actually is also going to be AtlantaCon.
I'm going
to be doing the podcast panel there.
Very cool. Very
cool.
And
so it should be actually a lot of fun to see Darren and a lot of his friends and everybody else who's going to show up. Should be actually really neat. And then after that, of course, Timegate.
Awesome. Awesome. And my next show, unfortunately, will not be able to make Timegate this year because I will be in Birmingham, Alabama at the Alabama Phoenix Fest. So that's going to be fun. I've heard a lot of good things about that show. Unfortunately, it's Memorial Day weekend, so it's the same weekend at Timegate. So I can't be split in two, so you'll just have to cover for me, Mike.
I will definitely. I'll say howdy to everybody.
Cloning. Cloning. Must have cloning.
Yes. If they can work that out, then that would be a good thing, because I've got a lot of other things to do, too. So, very cool. Well, speaking of which, we will see you at the next Con Report, which will air in at the end of May. You can expect that with more information. So, until that time, as always, it's been my pleasure. We'll be right back.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.